Morning. Welcome to the May 21st edition of the City of Morro Bay Community Promotions Committee meeting. I'm so excited to have everyone in the audience today for public comment. So whoever would like to go first, please feel free. Good morning, Ani.
Hi, I'll come up. Hi. My name is Ani Lin. I work for the Harbor Festival, Inc. that puts on Harbor Festival, a music festival, and I'm here to talk about the music festival this year. It's very different this year. It's free. It's free. We also have 30 vendors. Out of those 30 vendors, 27 are local businesses within the county, 7 directly in Morro Bay. Those businesses are so excited about doing the festival that they're giving a gift back. So each vendor will be giving a gift that will be raffled off. Everyone that attends will receive at least one free raffle ticket. And then you can purchase more at a discounted price, or when you buy anything at the vendors, they will give you more raffle tickets. We're also giving away free hot dogs to kids 12 and under who come in with their parents. We have 4 great bands, Louie Ortega and the Wild Jalapenos, Funk 30, Zongo, and Natalie Lola and Randy Rigby with Blue Latitude. In between the bands that are playing, we're going to have Pacific Dance come out and dance on the dance floor, the kids. Then we got Central Coast Kids. We've got a Kladaw dance kids group from San Luis Obispo. So it's really, we got something for everyone out there. This year, the perimeter will be where the vendors will be, around the perimeter of the parking lot. This is at 714, right across from Rose's Landing. And in the middle, we'll have tables, 25 tables with 8 chairs around them for you to sit at. If you want to bring your own folding chairs, come on out and bring your chairs. For the first year, we're going to have what we created as the signature Morro Bay drink, which is the saltwater taffy. We have 4 of our businesses involved in creating that. It's the Buoy, Legends, the Fuel Dock, and Otter Rock Cafe. Whoever wins gets a traveling trophy and a banner that says they carry the signature Morro Bay drink, saltwater taffy. So it's going to be fun for all, and we hope we see you all there. I'll be dancing and working.
And Ani, tell us the date again.
It's June 6th. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Stephanie Little. I'm a Morro Bay resident. I also coordinate a plover docent program sponsored by Morro Coast Audubon Society and Morro Bay State Parks. For the past few months, I've been working with Estero Bay Graphics to design a brochure that includes a dog-friendly map outlining our beaches and parks where dogs are allowed. The purpose of the map is to familiarize people with our local regulations that seek to inform and educate our residents and tourists the importance of obeying rules and regulations. As a dog owner myself, I want to promote the recreational use of our beaches, but also understand the significance of protecting our environmental resources that Morro Bay has become well known for. I am seeking your financial support in the amount of $500 to have 5,000 brochures printed up, and they will be placed in the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce, Morro Bay hotels, dog-friendly hotels, and other Morro Bay businesses. This is also going to benefit the plover docent program, in that the docents will be able to better educate the public on where they can and cannot take their dogs. So I'm more than happy to pass out this brochure that I've been working on. And if you have any questions, I am available after the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Promotions Committee. I have a really great idea, I think. This is a way to bring tourists into Morro Bay and to put Morro Bay out into the public eye. It doesn't have a name yet, but what it is a big stripe of colorful paint down the center of Morro Bay Boulevard, starting at the roundabout, ending at Market Street where it tees into Dorns. I don't know what color this stripe of paint shall be, but it shall be something exciting and agreed upon by all. And at the top of the stripe and at the bottom of the stripe, there will be large signs indicating that you have officially arrived at the unofficial halfway mark between San Francisco and Los Angeles, or Los Angeles and San Francisco, whichever way you want to word that. This will be a place for tourists to come and have their photo taken at the unofficial halfway mark between San Francisco and Los Angeles. And to top it all off, to bring the word out into the public, I've written a little song. Ani, would you like to join? All right. Think Andrews Sisters. Okay? Ready? Morro Bay, about halfway between San Francisco and LA Highway. One Morro Bay.
Very nice.
Thank you. This will bring Highway 1 into the mindset as well, like Route 60. It's the new Route 66. Did you have a question, Andrea?
I was just going to have you state your name for the record, even though we know who you are.
This is Jenny Brantley singing one more time. Morro Bay, about halfway between San Francisco and LA Highway 1, Morro Bay. And why I'm here is I'm seeking the Promotions Committee's support in promoting this idea. Also, for help in designing this project, both the sign design as well as what color should this line be, and promoting this in San Francisco and Los Angeles specifically. And I have ideas for how that would happen and what that would look like, a really clear vision of what that campaign would look like.
Jenny, have you talked to the city regarding the legality of doing this down the street before we even start? You might have a great idea, and we all like it. But if the city is not able to do this legally or for some other reason, then we have to look to some other place to put that stripe.
Yes, I've spoken with Rob Livick, who would be in charge of putting this into place. He did not have the authority to say, sure, go for it, but he didn't see any reason not to. We've been out on the sites where the signs might be placed and talked about that, and it is on the agenda next month at Public Works Advisory Board.
Okay, signs are one thing, but I was thinking more of the street,
right,
the stripe down the middle of the street.
Right, we talked about colors, and he said there were a couple colors that would not be allowable, and he's not sure about whether the line can cross intersections or not. But those were, you know, sort of details, but there was not a, no, this can't happen. It was actually, hey, this is great timing. We just paved the street.
Well, good. Right. It seems like if you could do the stripe before they put down the yellow lines, that might be good.
I spoke to him. I spoke to him about that. I said, can we do this before the line? He goes, don't worry about that. That's inconsequential.
Oh. The other question I have you actually measured it? Like, how close to the being in the center are we?
We're so very, very close. Peter, would you like to speak to that?
We can lie.
Or I guess about.
We're very, very close.
Okay. Morro Bay is the closest city.
Yes.
But it is the city that is closest to halfway. Don't tell anybody. But Cayucas is technically halfway, apparently. I didn't do the measuring, so I don't know.
You can Google it. Cayucas shows up as halfway, but they're not the city.
Oh, right.
That's why we said about. The song was originally Morro Bay is halfway, between seven, and so we changed it to Morro Bay, about halfway, between San Francisco. It's fun. It's the idea, and it's a declaration, and it's an outrageous declaration, which gets attention.
Sounds good. Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I look for your support.
Okay. Well, just let us know what we can do.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm John Zwemer, Morro Bay, and I just want to support Jenny's idea. I think it's a really great idea to try and bring people down Morro Bay Boulevard from Highway 1 that would otherwise maybe pass right on through. It seems like something that should be simple. You know, another colored line could parallel the yellow line that's there now. San Luis actually used to have a system set up where they had the green line that paralleled their yellow line that was a tourist route through the city. People just followed the green line, but that's disappeared. So maybe we could do a bright blue line or something. The chamber's new signs are all blue, and that could kind of coincide. And I'm also wondering, has anything ever been approved or disapproved officially for getting a sign up on the Morro Bay Boulevard exit signs that says Embarcadero or Waterfront to get people to pull off the highway. That was brought up a long time ago, and it was sort of dismissed from the city and passed off onto Sam Blakesley, I think, even to try and get him to do something.
You want to speak to that, Andrew?
I believe it's a, it's not a Caltrans city issue as much as it's a Caltrans issue, and it's a long process to get things changed like that. So I don't know where it is. We can ask the Public Services Department, but my guess is that it's somewhere in Caltrans.
Well, it'd be nice if that could happen, I think, because people are going through Morro Bay to Hearst Castle or Paso Robles that wouldn't otherwise stop, and if they see a big sign that says Embarcadero, they might stop instead of just passing by, like what's Morro Bay Boulevard. Uh-huh. And we'll have this stripe going down the middle with some sort of an attraction like Jenny's idea and get people to check it out. Thank you.
Thank you.
And faith-based organizations, because we've learned a lot from what happened down in Santa Barbara just a couple weeks ago with the fires. And from every disaster, hopefully we find energy to better prepare ourselves and our communities for disaster. And when we see something like that happen so devastatingly, especially to one of our sister counties, hopefully it drives people to act. It obviously passions me to act because I'm a volunteer. And the more prepared we are here locally, the better we're going to be able to handle any disaster that might strike. I've given you a lot of information. I'm not going to get to it. I know you have a lot of things on your agenda today. But what I'm asking for from you is a voice, a chance to get out into your community, to talk about disaster preparedness, fire preparedness, flood, tsunami, earthquake. I don't know if you've even noticed, but Southern California's had quite a few earthquakes. Small, but significant when it comes to what's going on geologically in our world, all around the world, actually. We need to start thinking about what we're going to do before it happens, because you're leaders. So I'm coming to the leaders and asking you to help me promote what we do. It's a free service. I'll go anywhere. I go to San Miguel. I go to Napomo. I will travel for a group of two, to a group of 30, to a group of 500. All I want to do is get our areas better prepared, because when a big disaster strikes, if our cities haven't talked about it beforehand, if our leaders haven't talked about it beforehand with their own families, with their business compadres, with their friends, with their faith-based community, we're not going to be able to handle it very well. So from every big one, I've given you information. I won't get to them, everything that I've given you, how to prepare your business, earthquakes, what we locally in the Red Cross do for you in your county. We survive 100% on local donation here in San Luis Obispo County, thank goodness. But in a national-sized disaster, which is pretty much anything bigger than a small flood or a small fire or an earthquake, maybe the size of San Simeon, anything bigger than that, the national comes in and helps us. So we're a franchise of the American Red Cross nationally, which means we pay them. We pay them about 18 cents on the high end on every dollar to support us if something big happens. But also that 18 cents pays for us, volunteers like me, to go out and respond to Santa Barbara, to the hurricanes in New Orleans and Louisiana, all over that state, Alabama and Mississippi a few years ago. But locally, we have to take care of ourselves. So I'm urging you, I'm asking you not only to think about your own plans with your families, but your plans at home, in your businesses, in your neighborhoods. In fact, right now at 8:20 on Thursday, May 21st, if a 7.2 earthquake hit us right now in Morro Bay or anywhere close by, we could have some problems. What are we going to do? Right now, if it hit, if you have children, pets, do you have plans for them? If you own a business, is somebody there to take care of it? Are you the opener? Do you have employees there already? Do you need to check on them? If you can't get there, who will? What are your children's school's plans for disaster if it's an earthquake that big? Do they take your kids away to someplace for sheltering? Or do they shelter them in place if it's safe? Do you have their pet if there's an evacuation and they can't get home? Do you know where their extra key is? Do they know where yours is? Have you talked about it? Is there an elderly person on your block that lives by themselves? Are you going to check on that person? Have you talked about that? So if that earthquake hit us 2 minutes ago, how many people in the room really do have a plan?
Anybody? Okay. So I've got to you. You're thinking about it now. I am offering my service to you. It is free. I will go anywhere. My high school kids at Morro Bay are prepared to speak. We go into elementary schools and we teach younger kids about disaster. Have the conversations. If you have a kid that is 4 years or older, they can handle a conversation. You don't have to give them too many details, but if the disaster strikes, your four-year-old will understand it because you've talked to him or her about it. Your 13-year-old sure as heck should know what they need to do in disaster. So take me to your civic groups, your community groups, your faith-based organizations, your social groups. Bring me into your home for a neighborhood barbecue. Let's get prepared together. It's not about fear. It's not about scaring people into getting ready. It's about the comfort we will have as a group of communities if each community on its own has had the dialogue, the conversations, and a little bit of a plan. No plan is perfect. Disaster is not perfect, but it does come. And we need to get ready. Ventura is going to help us. Monterey is going to help us. Santa Barbara is going to help us. But I was going to have to show it to you. I can come back. Peter knows how to get to me. Heather knows how to find me. I've seen a few of your faces. Let's do this before something happens. Also, I don't even know if you know this, but your Morro Bay Red Cross Youth Club raised money because there have been, over the past few years, a couple lockdowns. We all know about those. Your youth club at your high school around the corner raised money and bought enough water to supply every single student and faculty member on that campus with a bottle of water, God forbid something happens, like a lockdown again. They're all juniors in this club. They've been through lockdowns. Kids don't have food and water all the time in their classroom. They have filled your high school full of water in case something happens. And those kids have to stay in place for hours at a time, and they need a little bit of water. You should be really proud. Your youth club at Morro Bay High is doing a remarkable job. And they're going to represent you on June 8th at the community council meeting, thanks to Janice Peters. So here I am. I'm available. I work 7 days a week. I do whatever it takes. If I need to come next week, I'm going to Paso, 7 a.m. I'm going to be in church on a Sunday in June. I don't say no. So please reach out to me. I am here to help you, but I can't do it by myself.
And your contact information is here?
It should be on all of those. It's stamped on the back of the business packet. Peter has my number. There is only one Red Cross in our county. I'm the only yapper that comes out of that office. 543-0696, Carolyn Novak, extension 13. I'm urging you to work with me so we can make it happen.
Move to approve the minutes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right. That carries. Okay. We'll move on to our monthly reports. Visitor Center report.
Well, good morning, everyone. That was interesting. That's the most we've ever had, I think,
it
here.
Is.
That's fantastic. 8 a.m, and we have a lot of chipper people here with a lot of information to give us. So appreciate all of the information that was given this morning. And I know that I've been in communication with the Red Cross. We at the Chamber and the Visitor Center will have a CPR training class. We want everyone certified in our Visitor Center as well as the Chamber. And I'll open that up when we do organize that to the Promotions Committee and make that available to whoever wants to participate in it. I think it's a worthwhile idea to have the knowledge to save someone's life, and so we're going to bring it forth. Let's get into the report. A lot of things going on. You know, Ani talked about a couple of things happening. I want to go through, we'll go through it in order of what's in the occurrence that is going to happen in the next couple of months. But let's go through the promotions report. You see, our promotions report is always broken down with phone calls and visitors. You can see that we have last year's stats and this year's stats. So we're looking at April 08 versus April 09. Phone calls, you can see there's a slight difference, an increase in our April 09 report visitors. My goodness, you can see the difference there. It's almost almost 1,000 people that have come in to our visitor center over last year. We're looking at 2,340, and we haven't got to our busy season yet. But then the next heading is total promotions mailings. These are divided up into tourist packs, which are requested by people who phone, who call, who send letters requesting tourist packs, which we do. We put together and we send out. Relocation packages, these are great things because these are actually people who want to come into Morro Bay and move here. So we put together a pretty large packet with that, with general information, all of the things that they need to know. And then, of course, the next category is fulfillment. This is really, really important. It is broken down into the different areas that we advertise at that Tom Jones Advertising puts in the ads for us. And you can always see when an ad has come out, because you can see an influx of all kinds of information coming in, like Travel 50 and Beyond, 391 have come in, and the Californian Visitor's Guide, 120, and Sierra Magazine, 42, for a total of 553 just this month alone. And I know that we've gotten Sunset Magazine sent us labels as well as, and there's another maybe 500 or 600 there. Then it goes, we'll break it down again, and the last category on this one page is calls from the 800 numbers. Not a lot of activity this month. You can see where the 800 calls are originating from. In this case, it's the AAA magazine. We had a couple there. We put something a little bit different on the next page is the graph for the 800 numbers. It's a breakdown of where they're coming in from. You can see that we've included 2008 versus 2009. The difference is there, 33 from last year, 45 this year. Any questions about all this stuff?
Why do you think so many calls are coming from the Central Coast area or Central California area?
I'm sorry?
Why do you think so many calls this year are coming from Central California?
Well, you know, that includes Bakersfield and mm-hmm. those areas, too. So mm-hmm. there's been a lot of activities coming
our
way.
It's a big increase.
I think it's because of the spring break. You had last mm-hmm. year, March was okay. Easter, right. yeah. and this year it was in April.
Right. It really changes.
And then the links came in, and that had to have generated right. a lot of phone calls.
It does, and everyone knows who's been in that visitor center what happens when they do come into our harbor and the inquiries that we get. A lot of activity going on. I don't know if anybody's going to talk about this, but this came to my attention. I don't know if you can get a little on this. If you can't, it is the New York Times. We were mentioned in the New York Times. I think that is absolutely fantastic. That is a huge newspaper. Even though we just had a little sentence in there, Morro Bay was mentioned. The overall topic was, I think, tasting in the Central Coast and San Luis Obispo primarily. And then it goes into a one- or two-page article about our Central Coast and where to stay, where to eat, and all of the activities that's going on. So that, I thought that was a pretty good boost, all free of charge. Thank you, New York Times. Before I get into the other stuff, this is we just got this. I think, Billy, you have that, right? This is our new membership directory. We did it a little bit different this year. If you can see that photo, if you know where that is, everyone's to take one. It's a great reference to everyone in our membership and throughout the Morro Bay. So take a look at that. So as far as the activities going, what's happening, we'll start with tonight and move on from there. The mixer tonight, that's the Baron's Orchid. That is between, what is that between? That is on harbor between Napa, right, and...
It's Napa and Monterey.
It's catty corner from the post office.
That's right. It should be a lot of fun tonight. Big play. If you've never been into this location, orchids, my goodness. You, from the surface, this looks like a small building. In reality, it just goes on and on and on, and it's wonderful. It looks like a tropical rainforest back there. So take a look at it. Take a look at the orchids. Come in for the mixer tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun, 5:30 to 7. It's always the same time, same date, rather, as our promotions committee. Easy to remember. And, of course, this weekend, boy, it is just snuck up on me. This is Memorial Weekend, guys. I always thought it was the last, and it is, the last Monday. That's but 23rd is this weekend. So it's 23rd, 4th, and 5th. That's at Morro Bay Park. Don't forget about that. It's always a fun event. They're preparing for it. A lot of things going on those 3 days. So enjoy that, okay? Music festival, Ani went through all of that. That's, again, that is June 6th. And it is at the 714 Embarcadero, which, again, is across the street from Rose's Landing. June 20th is the Water Fest. This is something new to Morro Bay. I think it comes in different locations every year. June 20th at the south side of the Rock, 10 a.m. to – I don't know the specifics about it. I know that Noah is a major player in this. I've been advocating this for a long time. We've been promoting it on our website, and it's really a pretty big a deal.
It's about water conservation?
Yes, right, but with a lot of water sports included in it. So a lot of things going on that. And that's June 20th. Let's go back a little bit. I can't forget our travel show. That is June 6th and 7th. That is in Menlo Park. This is always a great event. Sunset Magazine puts on just an incredible travel show. It's outside. Weather's always been fairly good, of course, since I say that. Thousands and thousands of people come. It's an opportunity to showcase Morro Bay. We will go out and promote Morro Bay. We have our display sign. We have our DVD that we're going to be playing in a loop. John Sorgefroy and I will be working the booth. I know that last year we averaged 385 people per day, huh, Bill? And it was nonstop. It's just nonstop. People everywhere, and you don't stop at all. And so we've hit probably 700 or 800 people. And I mean, that's talking to each and every one of them, which you have to do. We don't sit back, and we bring them in. They know about Morro Bay, and they love to come to Morro Bay. And you'll find that there's seems like about 80% alumni there from Cal Poly. It's truly amazing how many people are there that went to the Cal Poly. I know Morro Bay. I know that rock. And then, of course, it's July 4th. It's the 4th of July celebration. This year, we're mixing it up. None of those come into play. We don't have any difficulties with the snowy plover. Actually, Stephanie, when I told her, she was very, very excited about it because there's really no – and I don't know how involved you know what happens when you have to do this. You have to have the harbor patrol in the middle of this. You have to have – you have a floating dock out there that are loaded with bombs, you know, that have to be really looked at and carefully monitored. And then you have to go to the sand spit, and you have to walk the area, photograph it, write about it. And then during the event, you have to go back and monitor it again, go through the same procedures, and then afterwards you do the same thing. So there's a lot of extra time and effort that goes into this thing, and it's very costly to do that. So when you add them all up, it's the right thing to do for Morro Bay. We are an eco-tourist destination, so why not go this? It's a logical way. I think there's going to be a lot of cities that are going to follow our lead, and we'll see exactly what happens, but I know it is absolutely an incredible, incredible event to see the laser shows. It's not one or two lights. It's just a whole backdrop of lights. It's just amazing. And the cool thing about it is one of the questions that came up about this, one of the requirements that we had to have was a fog machine. Pretty funny. So we let them know that I think that might not be necessary. Chances are it'll be foggy and a backdrop will be there for you. So a lot going on that day. This is going to be a family-oriented event like it always is. But in this year, we had so much fun with the kids and all of the games that we had. We're going to amplify that up, and there's going to be so many games. A lot of great entertainment. This is the time to come out and enjoy with your family and friends a day, and it's at Tidelands Park. We're going to do this week and next week. We're going to hit all of the nonprofit organizations relating to this, and we want to see if they can partner with us. This is a big event. It doesn't save us any money, per se, on the event itself. It's the same price. And you have to understand that this 4th of July is not a budgeted item. It's not something that we have money for, because it's not like that. This is a community event, and it's funded by the community. Unfortunately, half of the payment has to be done in March. So you have to commit yourself to spending this money on the Laser Show or the 4th of July fireworks, whatever you decide to do. Before you even get an idea how many people want to participate in this, I have to tell you, this year is going to be tough for the Chamber to come up with a huge difference, if there is a difference, between the donations and what it actually costs. So I really emphasize the importance of community participation, business participation, organization participations to be part of this, to donate their time, money, which is going to take also an effort to make this thing something special like it really is, because I know that this is going to be a showcase in our Central Coast, and we want to make sure it has the best foot forward. We have one more coming out, right?
Heather, I've got a question for Peter. When we're talking about crowds at Tidelands, I know that generally for the 4th of July, we're pretty close to capacity when the show goes on. So do you think there's a possibility that this will be able to be seen, of course, depending on the fog, from other areas better than the previous fireworks show, or can
you
call that?
Well, I don't know about better, because it doesn't go up. And remember, and that is kind of the backdrop. But it goes beyond that, and then there's fog that goes behind that, so you can see that. They said it; you can see it between 1 and 2 miles away, which is, but it's supposed to be in your face, exciting. You're going to love this. This is going to be great. And so to finish up with the donations, we really need your support to make this happen. So please, if you have the opportunity, I don't care if it's whatever it is, if you can afford to help with this, please do so any way that you can. I'll even go by your house to pick it up.
If I could just comment what Heather said, I think you're absolutely right. I think this is a great PR opportunity. And I think also, Peter, it might also, if we publicize this right, also could be a fundraising opportunity for you as well, because Morro Bay is sort of taking the lead, as it would, being environmentally conscious. And I think you could go after some environmental organizations, and say, we're stepping up, we're doing this. Even though they're unrelated to Morro Bay, if they're interested in conservation and ecology, they might be more inclined to participate, because this is, we're taking the lead on doing, kind of abandoning the traditional fireworks, but yet still having a show that's environmentally friendly.
So that's the emphasis. And I'll get with you if that's okay,
yeah,
and we'll
absolutely.
Pick up the organizations that I have missed.
Have you got, you mentioned the other day about having a tape or something of the laser show. Is that something we could put on our webpage?
We can. Now I received one. I received one already, but I didn't like it because it was generic. I wanted something more of what to expect, and so that should be here any day. And so they're putting together a program. And this is not a 5-10 minute thing. This is a 30 minute thing. This is great.
Well, that's a great idea. We could.
What we're doing. And then we're going to end it up here. There's a couple of things. Farmers Market, this every Saturday and on Main Street, and that is 3 to 6 every Saturday. A lot of folks come out to that. We've been keeping track of the number of people that hit those streets, and it's between 500 and 700 folks in the course of a three-hour period. So there's a lot of opportunity for businesses to take advantage of that. And then we have we have two trips coming up, business trips. One is to New England. That is September 28th through October 5th to see the color changes on the East Coast. We thought we'd keep one trip local. We have some great things set up for meeting the other chambers and different businesses out there, too, and actually seeing the color changes, which is going to be great. Now that's I believe that is $22.49. Is the price on that. Great. Some of the meals included, and definitely first-rate hotels. And then the China trip. We brought that back. It's been a couple of years since we've taken this trip, October 11th through the 19th. The difference between October and November, if you've seen other trips advertised, November is brutal. It's when we were there in November a couple of years back, it was 17 degrees on Tenement Square with the wind, and you have no idea how cold that is. So we moved it from November to October. October is absolutely, we've been in there in October, and it's absolutely glorious. It's absolutely beautiful, 66 degrees. You're going to enjoy this. And it's $1,999, which includes everything, visas, everything. The only thing that you have to pay, I believe, is you have to buy some water, because you can't drink the water over there. I think that's it.
Hopefully everyone got my email, but We were all set on our budget, assuming that we would be getting what we had always gotten, and it kind of came to light at one of the council budget meetings that they were interested in actually not allocating that full amount to us and deferring some of that to the VCB for our membership there. And so last Monday, I believe it was, or last Tuesday?
Wednesday,
I'm sorry. Okay, last Wednesday. I had a home show in between. I'm a little foggy. We had a budget meeting specifically for that purpose. And I was hoping, Peter, maybe you could just give us a little report about what happened there.
That's just an extra one if we didn't have enough.
That's perfect. Thank you. We didn't.
Short version?
Yes, please.
Short version is the county VCV, although they do have an importance and to every community in the county, when there's a choice to be made between funding maybe that entirely or partially, and if they fund it partially like they decided to do it at $10,000 level, or taking away money from the promotions and the visitor center, well, there's no choice. Everyone knows how important the visitor center is. Everyone knows the importance of the promotions committee. It's something that we had to scramble around. We had to communicate and educate, you know, a little bit about the importance and the excuse me, the role that we all play into this. We'll make this story really. They actually backed it up with the vote. So, thank you very much, Council, and certainly everyone who lobbied for this and for the Visitor Center. We want to thank everyone out there for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I just wanted to say thank you, Peter, to you, because I know that you really worked diligently on that, and luckily you were there at the council meeting and were able to make our concerns known, which is really, really great, and I really appreciate you stepping up and doing that. And I think that, to me, this has really taught us a good lesson that we, I think, need to do a better job as a promotions committee, really lobbying the council for them to see our value and what it is that we're doing. And I know that it is challenging when you have, a budget shortfall. I mean, what are you supposed to do? It's challenging from their perspective, but I think it's really important for us to make known that the promotion of the city is absolutely essential. And the council did have $10,000 allocated to the VCB, which will remain with the VCB, and we'll hope that next year things improve and that we have the money to fund that fully.
Great.
So.
Yeah.
Heather, I have one additional event that's coming up at your convenience
didn't
get reported.
Why don't
on.
You go ahead?
Okay, the Small Business Networking Breakfast.
Oh, okay.
It's June the 17th, upstairs at the Embarcadero Grill. And this time it's going to be marketing to events. We have David Owen from the Harbor Festival speaking, Don Doubleday from the Car Show, and our own John Sorgenfrei.
Who's that?
I don't know. Some guy we know who will be speaking. So it's going to be a terrific educational event. So come on out. It's a
several cities are structured. I think it is very streamlined, and Morro Bay has found a way to economize, but yet still get the service. Because just as in perspective, with Pismo Beach, there is a CVB. Peter's organization basically is the local CVB. Mm-hmm. That CBB is staffed by an executive director and also two other staff people. And in addition to that, there is a promotions committee similar to here, but there's also a contract with the chamber to do fulfillment. So Peter's organization really is streamlined in the sense that it's wearing about three different hats. And so I commend him and his organization, and I know with taking the lead on the events and things like that, events are always really easy to come up with the idea, but I've said this before, but implementation is the real key, and doing them correctly and making sure that when people do come here that they enjoy it. And I think that events will probably be, we'll even think more about that as the BID comes forth, and getting people, multi-day events that get people to stay overnight. And I think a lot of the events that we have could probably be expanded. We don't have to create brand new events. We can just expand the ones we have to create longer night stays. but I just want to make that comment.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Okay, any other comments about that? We'll move on to the budget that John provided us. Does anyone have any questions about this?
I can just give you an overview. Of course, we're at the time of year where we're pretty much coming at the end. We still have some remaining cash, but that cash has been committed to working with Nancy Castle on getting a Morro Bay history lesson as a feature in the website. So taking from her brother's book, every month we'll have a new history lesson. So it could be everything from, you know, the deep sea divers to the fishing industry to going back to the Selenian Indians. I mean, all these different things. And I think we could really expand that. And that would be another PR opportunity as well, maybe even work something out with, like, the local schools to make that available for them to download. And especially for our own community, it would be really good to have a Morro Bay history lesson. And we have access then to all the photographs that are in that great book. And I think it'll be a really neat feature. Yes?
What, just on the same line, I didn't mention this before, but this is going to be the fourth week that we've done this. Every Friday we do a history lesson, if you will, about Morro Bay. Last week we did one on the rock, and we did a 30-second digital spot on it, where we had Sharon in our office go out and talk about the rock that she normally does, you know, a couple of hundred times a day. But this time we put it on tape, and we have an account with YouTube, and every Friday it comes out on YouTube about this. Today we're doing the Morro Bay Golf Course, and we're going on hole 6 and on 9, and she's going to give a history lesson about our golf course and how it was originated, where it started, I mean, all of the things about it that most of us really don't know. And we're going to document all of these things. And I think we're going to put this together in a year's form, and we'll give this history lesson to our elementary schools. And, I mean, that's the idea.
Offer, because, you know, you don't know what's going to come up, and we want to make sure that when we do get bills from the media, you know, there are some times where rate increases occur, so I never want to go over budget, so I always have some in reserve. So, and actually, I don't know, we could cover this possibly under my report. There would be money to fund the dog map if you wish to do that. I'd certainly recommend it. I think that's something that would be a great collateral piece for visitors to come. You know, we are very pet friendly in this town. Our hotels are very pet friendly. Our beaches with on a leash are pet friendly, and so we would have money for that if you wish to do that. But yeah, we're getting pretty close.
Okay, great. And then looking at the TOT, does anybody have any input on that? Michelle, how are you seeing things?
Well, I do want to comment just again. I made that comment earlier about Easter falling this year in April, so you're going to see a 10%, you know, rate down. But I think hopefully in April you'll see a little bing versus last year. Maybe it'll even out with the economy being slow, and then Easter falling in April this year, maybe April's numbers will be a little more even. You know, we're still seeing the same trend. You see the last minute. Unfortunately, car show, we even had vacancies over car show, which was disappointing. one thing I noticed, and I want to talk to car show people about, is we had a lot of comments this year, more so than in the past, and I don't know why. People getting through town, they were having a hard time getting from, you know, like off the freeway into the town, because half the town was detoured, closed. Yeah. So I think that's something that I wanted to kind of bring up to the car show people for next year, because I noticed my property that was up on Main Street, they booked, but my little challenging this year. And I'm sure it's happened in the previous years, but it was kind of more brought to my attention this year.
Do you think the construction had anything to do with that?
It could have been, because they had construction this year. And I don't know why they did the construction right. We had some comments about that too, but so that could have made it even more challenging than normal, because unfortunately some of the side streets you would go down were like half torn apart, at least when I went through there on Friday. I heard they were cleaning everything up by the weekend. I wasn't here for the weekend, so I don't know, but that was something that was kind of disappointing. Usually car show were sold out well in advance, and you know, Fridays here and there we've had a few things, but never Saturday. So everything's been last minute. I know for even spring break we were hit or miss. You know, we had, you know, business was improving, but it definitely was not as great as the year before. So April, we'll still see some down numbers. So there's not really a big turnaround. I mean, and everybody is lowering their rates, not just in this city, but everywhere. In fact, there was a big thing that came out with Best Western. I was reading, and we get these newsletters, and I was reading it yesterday talking about AAA is saying, you know, everything's going to – everybody's 83% of people will be traveling for Memorial Day, but everybody's expecting a 10 to 20% discount. So we've had to go in and lower our rates for the next, you know, pretty much to the end of the year. So you're going to see that with the TOT sales. You're going to see occupancy maybe not go down. You know, I know with us, our occupancy levels are pretty much the same. We've got little dips here and there, but we're getting a lot less revenue, which then entail is less for TOT. So it's just kind of the way that it's going, and hopefully eventually it'll turn around. But it's going to be a challenging summer, I think. And people are feeling that they don't have to make reservations, so everything's last minute. Everything's last minute. And the weather has been great. I don't know.
Pismo and Avila Beach, just in sitting with and hearing comments from the hoteliers there, the trend is that it's very last minute. People don't feel like they need to make a reservation. Sometimes they'll just, you know, at a whim decide to go. What they're also finding, too, a lot of hotels that would have two-night minimum, you know, Friday, Saturday, they're having to let that go because people, they're still coming, but they're not going to spend two nights. They're going to spend one night. So they may come stay Friday and go home Saturday, or come Saturday and go home Sunday, and that's really hurt occupancy and TOT as well. And again, as you said, I mean, then you start dropping the rates because you want to try to encourage people to stay longer. As we get further along, and I could deal with this more in my report, but we might want to try to think about some sort of a group, and I know we can't fix prices or anything like that, but some sort of group discount or not group discount, but a lodging discount where we make a Friday or a Saturday, you know, one of those other nights really attractive, like a half off. And I mean, I don't own a hotel, so I'm not trying to give away profit of somebody else's business, but I think those are the kinds of things we're going to need to look at for the summer to try to get the TOT up.
I know that something we've been doing is, even with Memorial Day, my staff yesterday were wheeling and dealing if they were staying more multiple nights. And we recently have been saying, you stay an additional night, we'll give you 50% off your next day, your next night. And we've been calling people as they're in-house. So it is something that I think maybe if we did a city campaign and tried to do something, because Saturdays, those are no-brainers. Everybody comes, Saturday's not an issue, but here we go, car show weekend, we had vacancies. But it's not Saturday so much, it's those Fridays. And what's happening, and I heard it yesterday, I'm, you know, back in the office now, I'm listening to my staff. She's sitting here saying, well, you have a promotion on that would maybe get people to know, oh, and then they're here, you know, they may come in late on Friday night, but at least they're here. Mm-hmm. And then they're here breakfast in the morning or something.
We put together just to try it, and we've talked about this before, but it really came out extremely efficient, I think, is that we put together the city has a softball tournaments throughout the year. We didn't know the extent of it. It's like our wrestling tournament that we have at the high school. We don't know there's 6,000 people coming. I mean, we do, but we don't. You know, it's not that publicized. We're going to get in the middle of it this year. But just like we did with the softball tournaments, there's almost 6,000 people who come. You know, and that's the players and their wives. Yeah, not counting all the spectators and all the other folks that with it. That's just them. So we got together and we called different hotels, and we put this matrix of hotels. And of course, they're all those weekends. You know, they're all the holiday weekends, and they I think we had maybe 11 or 12 hotels that participated this year. I expect more, but they all discounted their rates, and we put the same thing with the restaurants as well as activities, and we made this. Actually, the city created that great matrix that they put together, and they have an ID card that they come in. And so these packages are put together. They have an ID card, and it's all at the participating places. So it should be pretty exciting. The first one's coming up shortly. We'll see how it all works. But it does look good, and I think packaging our town, so to speak, with events.
Well, I think you could do something like that, but and like you said, these are the participating hotels, and then you don't even have to get into too much detail as to who's going to participate and what's your offer and put them on there. I mean, I know we've talked.
The goal of raising TOT with the additional marketing dollars, we're going to have to go a little retail with this, and you know, specifically having specials and deals and things like that, because I think that's really where people are at right now, because people expect a discount.
Oh, yeah.
And whether it be a room or a shirt or anything.
Well, and it's funny, people walk in and everybody walks in and they're all about negotiating now. They know. people are they get the concept. You know, 2 years ago, rack rate was rack rate, and everybody was fine paying it. Not anymore. Everybody now comes in and they want some type of discount of some sort. And if you don't give it to them, they're going to turn around and walk out. So it's definitely a trend. And it's just with the economy, you know, it's something we're going to continue to see. It's not going to go away.
Does anybody track the average room rate for the city?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get it.
The city does?
I would assume the city does, don't they?
I don't know. I can ask that.
Okay. I don't know. It just
I feel like I've seen it before.
Yeah. I just think it would be interesting to look at because I think that, I mean, that had never occurred to me that
Well, you
really,
could figure it out right
based
here.
Based on the occupancy. That's
yeah.
true, huh?
Yeah. You could yeah. figure it out with these numbers right here.
That's true. Okay.
Are we ever going to find out about these missing receipts?
Oh, yeah.
We're working. We're currently working with one hotel, and they have a payment schedule, and the other hotel is kind of a special issue, and we're working with it. So it's not that it's just been put away. I do make a note to myself to come back with some more information next month. I missed your meeting last month, so I apologize, but I made a note to myself to bring back some specifics on that. But it's not just being ignored. Don't worry. And I did want to say something about the construction. Certainly it was the city's intent to not have construction prior to the car show. I have a list of circumstances that but a little bit, but we've got a roundabout done and we've got our street repaved. So
it's great.
Next year, I think we're smooth and clear.
Hopefully, we don't have to do anything next year because, like right now, they've got Morro Bay Boulevard completely closed to parking for 4 days. I mean, all in the Merchants District, 4 days, no parking. They're ticketing people. We do have tourists in town as well as locals, and. It's and the holiday weekend's coming. It doesn't look good. And I know I've talked to fellow merchants who have had people calling and saying, I broke my foot, I can't walk to the shop, can I park in front of there yet? Well, no. You know, come next week if you even still want something. So I think at some point maybe the city needs to look at when they're doing repair projects like that. I mean, we were told it was going to be half a street closed at a time. It hasn't been. It's been, you know, in this case, probably 6 blocks of no parking, maybe 8 at once for 4 days, posted on the street, on the trees, all up and down the street. I mean, that's, it's kind of like when you go somewhere and you're hit with a big no, don't do this. There's a store I know of down in Grover that you walk up to their door and you're hit by a stop sign, literally. It says stop. No food, no kids, no strollers, no. And I hate to see Morro Bay become the town that says no when people drive up to it. So something for the city public works department maybe to think about different ways of approaching doing that kind of work. It's got to be done. Some of what they were doing with the street repair was really important infrastructure. They had to get into the sewer once you open the streets. Those
right.
days, so
okay.
they're not going
to. I think that was probably a function of signage, signing the entire street. Probably a better idea to sign it in
sections.
In sections. The
yeah.
tough thing about the people that park there, if the crews come through and they need to stripe, and there's one car in that block, they can't do the work. So it's a tough dance. Could it have been a little better or smoother? Sure. Sure. Do we strive for that? Absolutely. So I think it's been a learning experience, I think, for everybody. But we're trying to clean it up in time for the weekend.
But we won't have to do it for another 50 years, right?
Well, we won't do it next year.
Okay, anything else on the budget report? Okay, moving on then to our advertising agency report. John.
Okay, thank you. I'll start with the website statistics. Here's a few copies if you guys just want to look at it and pass it on. Our website's doing very well as far as having attendance and viewing for the month of, and again, we always look at this bar graph, and you have to really look at the month prior because we're only seeing half of the amount because of the way the meetings are scheduled. But as you can see, we're still seeing a nice climb. If you look from, you know, the last 3 months, we've started to climb up as we normally do, getting into the summer months. But from April 1st through May 20th, we had 36,092 page views, or actually user sessions. So these are unique visits. These are not just hits. These are people who came to the site and went through it. Our total newsletter signups for the month were 31. The average page printable itinerary for their stay here. And which is really interesting is the number fourth most visited with over 7,000 is our photo contest. And I think you, as I know Bill mentioned this, that, you know, when you go in there now, you're seeing page after page of photos. So I think this has really become a great success. And I know that we get at least probably two or three a week of people submitting their photographs. And then right behind that are people searching images for that as well. So we continue to do very well. We still have a very high percentage of no referral, which basically means they're typing in morrobay.org. And that's over 53%. So over half of the people are coming to us knowing which website to type in, which is significant in that you know, we can attribute that to advertising, because they were not morrobay.com, where you would think that they would just normally go to that. So they have to be aware of what our website is. And I mentioned some of the features that we're working on as we get to the end of our budget for this year. The separate pages for the events, which we've been working with the chamber on, and also the photo festival. We did a complete website for the photo festival, and that's complete. And we're also going to be able, people will be able to register online on that website, which will be really significant. And that's how they do the Winter Bird Festival. In fact, Janice Peters has been very helpful. We've got a lot of the people who worked on the Bird Festival to work on the photo festival, because they know all of the different nuances and how to do it and what works best. So rather than try to experiment and figure out the best way, we're trying to work off of that model, which has been a very successful one.
John, on those landing pages, are those separate URLs, or are they just separate pages?
No, they're just separate pages that you would link to.
Okay.
But and, you know, we could certainly have some public relations for that. We did quite a bit for the tall ships. I got kind of a frantic call from the gal that was doing the links and saying that they were really feeling the economy. They weren't getting people to take the boat rides, and it is rather expensive to do that. So we tried as best we could. We did get them an interview on KCOY, and we also had some footage run over in the valley. We incorporated one of our ads that we normally do with the links. We put the tall ships in that. So they did see a little spurt after that. And tried to do what we could to get them. And we also, I think you all saw that the Tribune finally covered it right about the time they were leaving, even though we told them about a month ahead of time. And but we always try to do that, and we have a section in our budget to do PR, and that's really what we've tried to do to kind of fill the void with our budget. The remote was very successful. I want to thank Peter again for all his efforts on that. Those things are very laborious, but when you get them all put together, they're really great. But it's a lot of work to get everybody scheduled and to come and speak, and then all the hotels. And I appreciate Michelle's participation, everybody else who participated, all the restaurants and activities. And we really had a successful one. It came off great. And I appreciate, you know, the city, and Betty did a great job filling in for Janice. And I think everybody had fun.
Just a comment about that. I was talking to Nick Mendoza at Lolo's, and he provided lunch for Chad and Andy. And he said right after that closed, he had two people from Lompoc come over. And I talked to Maggie from her mud fudge and the hot dog stand that she has.
Significant in that I think our public officials, as well as our businesses in town, see that we're doing something, because it's real tangible. Sometimes it's difficult if you don't pick up a Sunset magazine, or if you don't, you know, see some of the advertising, because most of our advertising is outside of this market, so you never see it. But where this is a little bit more tangible, and I think people felt that it was good that we were doing something. And I think this whole stay vacation thing, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, is really a good idea. And they loved it. They thought it was great. It was an education process, even though Andy Morris spends a lot of time in Morro Bay. There were a lot of places and things that he did, and where they ate, you know, they just thought it was fantastic. And so I think that's something that we could continue to build upon, you know, as we look into next year, you know, make Morro Bay kind of their little getaway headquarters. And what we've got coming up as part of that package was their sister station is La Buena, which is the Spanish station. And we sort of evaluated, you know, could we really pull off a live broadcast like that? It'd probably be difficult. So what we're going to do is the last Saturday, which I guess is May 30th, we're going to have have them come out and do a live remote from the farmer's market. And so we thought this would be really a great way, an ongoing event to promote and to encourage people to come to this great market on Saturdays. So we'll be hitting, you know, the Santa Maria Lompoc and Five Cities, all the different, you know, San Luis Obispo County as well as Northern Santa Barbara County, letting them know that there's this great, you know, ongoing event every Saturday. And I'm working with Peter on getting some people lined up that could be interviewed that speak Spanish. So we'd probably try to get some of the farmers, possibly if we can find a fisherman to speak, and set it up to where you have the option when you come to the website, you can either pick Spanish or English.
Have you decided what pages?
The home page, the calendar of events, you know, pretty much the key pages that we have that would, and then I think we can just sort of expand that as we go along. I mean, we'll have a new budget next year for the website. I can see that as a big, you know, some of the dollars going toward funding a true Spanish-speaking website.
And I'm sorry, John, what station are Chad and Andy on?
They're on Mega, which is 97.1, and it's broadcast out of Santa Maria, but the signal goes all the way up to San Luis Obispo.
And what's the format?
It's sort of oldies, but it's more of a contemporary oldie station.
Okay.
It's like a power, what they call a power station.
That's right. Yeah.
You can also access it online. I actually got online and listened to it the next day for the remote, and listened to it that day. All my staff was listening because, you know, we were on. And you know, they actually have some pretty decent music for businesses. Like, we actually ended up, I've seen my staff listening to it now when I come in on occasion on the computer. And you can just type that in, you know, Mega 97.1, and it goes straight to it, and you can listen live.
It's a real strong format in the Santa Maria market and Lompoc. And again, even though we might not be able to hear it really well in Morro Bay, that really isn't an issue. We want the people in Santa Maria to hear it. So, actually going through your computer, you can hear it fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And more and more people are listening to radio that way. The video player, I mentioned all the website. I have the NTA application. We were trying to get a little better deal, too, so we're going to fund that early for them. And Peter mentioned the Sunset Show, so we're looking forward to that. The only other thing that I would mention is that we, you know, have a budget, and the budget committee approved that, and we'll be starting to do that. But there might be some discussion once the advisory board for the BID is formed. We might want to front load some of our budget, you know, spend a little more in the early fall or even in toward the end of the summer if we're seeing that we really need some support with TOT, knowing that these other dollars will be there to support us as they collect. So I don't really have a recommendation right now, but other than maybe we might want to consider that, because we know that there's going to be additional dollars going toward promotion later. So we might want to spend more. Mm-hmm. We certainly have to talk to the BID group about that. I'm not presuming I can't speak for them, but that would be something to consider. Mm-hmm. And what I was thinking is, as we get into the summer months, and I know this is sort of taboo, we normally don't do this, but we might want to think about toward the latter part of July coming in with another stay vacation promotion. And it could be, we might even want to do it over in Bakersfield and Fresno and have some specific discounts associated with that, because I think we're going to need to do those kinds of things. We might even want to do some advertising to promote midweek in the summer, because the reality is, and I hope I'm wrong, but we may not be filling, we'll probably fill the hotels on the weekends in the summer, but we may not fill them midweek. And if we can make a really attractive midweek getaway package for people over in the valley and promote that, I think that would be significant.
Somewhere where, you know, we can kind of use the advertising a little more. Mm-hmm.
Well, we do, and I'm glad to hear that, because we do target, you know, that's been one of our main targeted areas, is to hit that Thousand Oaks market. And there are stations that originally we were thinking about doing a station down there, and instead we did the Santa Maria station. But that could be another place to look at. You know, we may want to focus on the stay vacation at that market.
I was just thinking, they're just a couple hours away, so they're not far.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, and it also, they have to escape the heat too. I mean,
right.
If you live in
Fillmore, it gets hot.
Right.
And, yeah.
So I think that's something to maybe consider. And as we get closer, I mean, we'd have to talk with the BID group to see if that's something. But I know that that's been thought of. in other markets where, you know, the funding is going to be there. So maybe we, you know, would spend more front-loaded.
Well, John, do you have anything else more specific on your advertising agency report? Because I feel like your report, the BID discussion, and the new budget for the committee, all of those kind of dovetail, and I'd like to, you know, kind of maybe talk about all of those as a group. Do you have anything else specifically?
No, that pretty much covers my report.
Okay. And we did not have a, or did we have a public relations?
We didn't, but I wonder if we might want to get together with Jenny and if that fits in that committee.
That's a good idea.
To talk with her, see if we want to support that and bring that back to the next meeting and
okay.
present
could,
that.
Can you spearhead that, Susan?
Okay.
Great.
And another, well, yeah, just go on.
Okay. And then what about the website subcommittee?
We did not have a meeting.
Okay.
In fact, we haven't had decided who's going to be the chairman yet.
Okay.
We're going to flip a coin on that.
Great.
And since last month. And there are really some neat pictures on the photo contest. It's going to be a tough one to judge this time.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks for that, Bill.
And actually, okay. I'm sorry, but Bill did give me an update, too, on the trolley map. So there were some changes on that for fares and scheduling. So I did get that from Janine. And so we'll get the new PDF put on the website to replace the old one.
Great.
Which you might want to mention, the trolley starts up this Saturday.
Yeah, and I've seen it around town. I didn't think it. Does it?
They're practicing.
Oh, they are.
I was
going
to say, yeah, it's actually open to public Saturday.
They were in the parade, so I think they just kept on going after that.
But yeah, that's exciting. The trolley's always fun. Okay, so moving on to unfinished business, review of the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District. Does anybody know where exactly we're at with that?
Andrew probably knows better, but basically the way yesterday was the last day for applications for the advisory board, and they start collecting June 1st. So the city council meets next Tuesday for interviewing for the advisory board. But Andrea might know any more than that. That's about as much as I know.
That was a beautiful report, Michelle. Thank you very much. I'd be happy to answer questions. We did get applications. I don't know off the top of my head how many. I think 7 or 8. There's 7 members available, or there's a seven members available to be appointed. Interviews will be prior to the city council meeting on Tuesday, May 26th at 5 o'clock here. It's open to the public. And then we have not set at this point a meeting date or time or anything like that. We'll wait till the board gets on.
Are the interviews televised?
Yes.
Okay. And
it needs to
have applied.
Interview.
Did anyone but Michelle apply?
I did apply.
Okay. So let's just hope that Michelle gets on, because that would be. I think that that's really important for somebody from the promotions committee meeting or promotions committee to be on that advisory board. So hopefully you'll get on. And then I wanted to. Kind of bring up the idea again, and I haven't talked, well, I'm not sure who to talk to at the BID, I guess, since there hasn't been an official board formed, but I really like the idea still of us maybe trying to do a workshop together where the, you know, the promotions committee and the BID sit down and, you know, obviously it has to be open to the public, but whether it's televised, all those details, you know, we could work out, but I just think that it would be a good idea. Going back to what you said, John, I feel like having a formalized discussion saying, you know, this is our budget, but we're willing to front load it. We're willing to put it out there as long as you're willing to pick up the slack on the end. I mean, obviously, we all have a common goal, so I don't see there being any real issues with that. But I'm also really curious who their advertising agency is, if it's going to be you or someone else, and how we're going to dovetail.
I think that's one thing that – oh, excuse me. Go ahead, Ed.
Oh, I'm sorry, Michelle.
No, go ahead.
I would also be interested in knowing what their marketing plan is and how and their media situation, how it's going to dovetail with what we're doing, where they're going to spend their money or what they're thinking.
My understanding was, and it was – and this is where I'm at least presently, was that – at least for the first year, they were going to continue to use my firm. I know that was mentioned by John Sulu in a couple meetings that whoever the current – and my contract had just – hadn't been renewed at that point. But whoever the current contractor was for the promotions committee would do that, because the reason being is that it seemed like the best way to not duplicate, because there's going to be some real issues talking about – how the website integrates, you know, are we going to have 2 websites? We probably won't. We'll try to, you know, figure out a way. We certainly want to have a website. I would imagine they want to have a website that's much more lodging oriented. Is that because that's what the really, you know, the goal is to increase. Mm-hmm.
They'll be meeting.
They will. We haven't said that yet. I would suggest that perhaps having a joint meeting. We do joint meetings all the time between Planning Commission and Council and Harbor Advisory Board and R&P, so we can set up a joint meeting maybe for July.
Okay.
So both boards can get together.
How do we go about executing that? Do I just need to talk to Bridget about it?
You don't even have to talk to Bridget. I got it in the notes. And okay. What we'll probably do at your June meeting is bring back a proposal for a date for a joint meeting.
Okay, that'd be great.
We'll work on that. It's a little bit odd in that they haven't been appointed yet. And right. So, yeah, but we can take care of that.
Okay. Well, and we might talk about, too, since our meeting is so early in June, maybe we could have, you know, an additional meeting at the end of June or something like that.
So. Or you could have a four-year meeting in June. That might be a little bit early.
Yeah. That might be a bit early, but if we could, I just feel like, you know, the sooner we could get going on it, the better.
Like, everyone's in agreement.
Great. Okay, so any other discussion about the BID? No? Okay. Discussion on new display for trade show. So I did a bit of research on that, and, you know, I had hoped to kind of sit down with Peter and never did get a chance to do that. But I was just really curious because I felt like as I started, you know, researching it, I wasn't really sure what the committee wanted. And, you know, based on what we have, that's a really easy thing to replace. And the feedback I've gotten is I know that, well, the elements of it, the structure, and then the graphics are both kind of shot, and we need to start over. But I wasn't sure, did we want to go with the exact same structure that we have before, which...
...file to put up. You have to remember which side that those frames go up. But I have to say, it really jumps out at you. Mm-hmm. And when they walk when they walk past that, you know, that huge screen that's in back there, it brings people in. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, if we keep it on that same line, something easier to put up and take down would be pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, and I think that anything that we get that's newer is probably going to be easier. From the bit of research I did, we probably are going to need to allocate about $3,000 to get to basically replace what we have. And so it would just be a new version of what we have, you know, which I think would be fine. But there are a couple of, I mean, there are lots and lots of options out there. But I felt like, you know, based on what we have spent in the past and what we, you know, could spend, that I felt like $3,000 was probably in about the range we would want. They have some really kind of cool pieces where the actual, you know, back cloth is a whole picture, so it's just like a stretched picture. The other thing I wanted to bring up was there's the option that we could buy or we could rent. And we could have all the graphics made, but then actually rent the frame. I don't personally think that that's the best option because, you know, it's going to cost, it would cost us in a year what it would probably cost us to buy one. So that's, but I wanted to bring that to the committee's, you know, attention that there is that option. The other thing I did a bit of research on that was kind of interesting were green displays, you know, because that's kind of the direction we're moving in. There's some really neat green displays, you know, where like you know, they're made out of post-consumer, you know, the actual graphics are made out of post-consumer materials. They use a green display as a normal display. So, and I can pass these around if you guys are interested, but this was, like, the concept so that it's, you know, a big kind of framed, soft material that would go over it. But there are a lot of options out there, and I just wasn't sure, you know, where we wanted to go. If the committee wants to say, yeah, let's allocate $3,000 for a new display and Peter and I can work on it. Or what the best direction would be to go in.
Maybe we should, maybe that's another item for the, when we have our meeting with the BID, because I think that, you know, I know that they want to go to the NTA show. Maybe there's a way to look at that, because they'll probably, one of us is going to be borrowing the booth from one of the other, I would think, at some point, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know we also had talked a lot, John, about trying to make it a little bit more high tech. And, you know, I looked at a lot of those things, and, I mean, I'm not sure how much you guys are aware of booth displays and stuff, but, I mean, I went to, like, oh, yeah, custom booths, that sounds good, let's do that. And it was, like, starting at $18,000, and I'm like, okay, that's not in our budget. So, you know, I mean, really, it would be great to have some neater things, but I just don't know financially if that's where we're at.
Were your prices including the graphics?
Yes.
What the key element of these travel shows, you want to certainly have a nice display in the background, but it's the people who run the show.
I agree.
Because you know, we could do just fine with what we have right now, maybe get a new skin in the front, but you know, we have repaired the accordion part. Not that I'm advocating not spending any money on it, but it really does have impact. You know, that large display, when you see the rock, oh my goodness, you know. And then once that happens, it's up to the people. Fortunately, we did have to get the electricity for this one, mainly because of our DVD.
Yeah.
And we want to do that, and we got a great deal on it because I jumped way, way in advance, and we got the, you know, the early bird special. So.
I think that I like the – I've seen those displays that have, like, the one big picture that's mm-hmm. cloth. Mm-hmm. And I think that that may be something to consider in the future just because it would still have the same impact. I mean, we might even use the same aerial shot, which is a dramatic photograph. But the nice thing about that is it's like setting up a pop-up tent. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really light. And that's really, I think, the one thing that is archaic about our booth is now with modern – technology, you know, those things, it's really easy to set up, and it's really light. And ours isn't too bad. I've seen other ones that are really old that are
The main problem with ours, it's dealt with. You put the back on with magnets. The magnets are getting a little demagnetized. So when you try to make the fold, we try to make the fold go down and make it look nice. It pops open, and sometimes you got to, you know, tape it.
There used to be a company in SLO that rebuilt that whole thing for us.
It's called Spectrum.
Yeah, Spectrum, yeah. Right. I wonder if those magnets aren't replaceable. Or, you know,
I don't personally think it's worth it.
Well, yeah.
But
were any of those that you looked at a pull-down screen?
No, those are available, but none of the ones I looked at were that way. I mean, there's so many options out there.
Could we have the guy from Spectrum come in?
We could. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how everybody on the committee feels. I have not talked to Spectrum. And I know my company also deals with another firm in San Luis called Genoa Graphics, and they're local. But I...
cloth ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to be right over on Higuera, but I'm sure he's still... I mean, he's local still, but... And they have the ones where you can pull the shade down. You know, I thought we – do you recall, Peter, having one that's a small one that has
yes,
the –
we used to have one, right?
Yeah, it's still there. It's just it doesn't have the impact that we need.
You know. If the booth we have now is serviceable at least for the next couple of shows, I think John's suggestion of waiting till the BID gets formed and we see where they want to go and how much display – booths time they're going to need, we could do it together.
Oh, we'll make it work, Ed. Yeah. I mean, it's one way or another. I'll put
so
it
we
up
don't need to do this right.
Duct
next
tape
week.
And
right. And
pins, but
the next show's the Sunset Show, and then we don't have another show until January, right?
Unless what isn't the green one at the end, like November? Isn't the
well?
Green
the, remember, the green one is you know it's not budgeted. And it's not part of that. It's not part of our
budget.
Yeah, we did that because the chamber paid most of it.
Oh.
We're not going to be able to do that this year.
Okay.
But so I'd love to go to the show if there's maybe the BID will be available because it has tremendous impact on what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. So that is the next show is January?
I believe so.
Yeah?
February.
February.
It was after, right.
Okay.
It's always February, June.
Okay. So, I mean, if the committee's in agreement, I think we should just table this issue until we get with the BID and we can, you know, discuss. But I definitely think we should set a goal for having a new display by February, if possible. I know, but I guess it's not budgeted for at all. So how much fire sale do we have? 5,000?
It's going to be nice, and it's going to get a lot more use if they decide to go on the trade show circuit. Mm-hmm. You know, then we probably will need a new one because every time you take that thing down and set it up, it gets more wear and tear. Mm-hmm. And I think the ease, I mean, if we're going to be going to a lot of them, I mean, that's really where I think that the value of changing it would be just the how light they are now.
Well, and I remember, gosh, it's been probably 4 or 5 years ago when I was working some of the trade shows, putting that display up, and it was old then. So, I mean, and I remember the magnets not sticking real well then.
I think we would be better off taking some money, and we didn't really allocate a whole lot of money for collateral, but, and this was, of course, the Green Show was a really good representation of this, but I don't think we need to have a lot of paper to give people, because more and more people just go, you know, what can I have, just this rack card? They don't want to take a lot of brochures, and because they're already loaded down. And the Green Fest, of course, was not, you know, paperless. And I think more and more people are going that way. And a lot of people just want to know what website to go to. Mm-hmm. And when you really think about it, if you can get them to go to the website, we might even want to think about printing like a really cool card that just says, find out more about Morro Bay, and hand them that and tell them to go to the website. Because I think that the booth will bring them in, but it's really, as Peter said, the, you know, what we say to them and what we give them. And more and more people now, and we have the DVDs still, which, you know, we dropped off more of those. We dropped off more of the press kit folders too. So we still have quite a bit of collateral. So we may not need to budget for that and take that money and put it toward a booth.
Where are we at with the whole DVD brochure thing that we had talked about for, like, the Wrath card?
We can look at, you know, doing that for next year. You mean the mailer? Is that what you...
Okay. So we still really need to look at producing that and then the trade show.
We also, I don't know if Michelle dropped those by for you, but I have a whole box of these really cool, I guess, you know, maybe we didn't, we could use these for the Sunset Show. We're moving our offices, so obviously we're finding a lot of things that we've stored for a long, long time. That's why Peter inherited 3 boxes of the press kit folders. We did the, long time ago, we did the cloisters when they were selling lots. And we have these little wood plaques with like a little rope on them, and it says Gone to the Beach. And it has Morro Bay. And we have a whole box, so we can give those out at the Sunset Show.
That'd be great. Thanks, John. Okay, any other discussion on the trade show booth display? So we'll just table that until the BID comes. And Peter, if you can kind of try and remember, maybe keep that on your radar, since I know you're closest to it, and maybe we'll try and discuss that starting in July after we meet with the BID. Moving on to new business, the approval of the 2009-2010 Committee Promotions Committee budget. We did meet. We went over it. We made a few changes, you know, to some things. But I feel like based on our conversation that we just kind of need to be maybe a little bit flexible and kind of see where the road takes us with the BID. Are there any questions or concerns about the budget that need to be addressed? No? Okay. Great. We'll move on. Any discussion of new ideas?
What?
Go ahead.
Well, it's not the new idea. I'd like to just I don't know where we are with helping with the dog map.
Oh, I'm
kind of a something that happened at the council meeting was somebody that was actually approached by one of the state parks people about her dog being off a leash in an area she thought was a leash area or an unleashed area, so. Defining those barriers with the number of people that come into our visitor center, I think it's really important that we get that out, and they're so close from being done. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly in favor of it.
Mm-hmm. What was the brochure we looked at this morning? I saw it was nice graphically, but I didn't feel that it outlined the exact areas where you could and could not walk a dog. It listed them on the side with numbers, but I didn't see any numbers on the map itself.
No, I thought it was clearly defined. Yeah.
There's no numbers.
It's clearly defined on the right-hand side, but on the map itself, where those locations are. See on the left-hand side?
Well, there's the red areas, though, that indicate where...
But if you put number one, number two, number three on the side of the map...
Oh, I see.
It would coordinate them with what's on the right-hand side. It would clearly indicate to anyone that looked at that map where you could walk or not walk your dog.
I think we need to be careful, though, about remaking the map. I mean, this is their map that they did, so I think we're just here to either approve the money or, I mean...
Well, and actually, it's not on the agenda.
I was going to suggest that you can revisit item
six, new business, approval of the budget, and you can probably determine with a motion if you choose to spend some money there.
That sounds like a great plan. Thanks, Andrea.
In an effort to not come back next meeting to do this.
Thank you.
Does this tie in at all with what Jenny Brantley had put together with all the dog-friendly businesses and motels?
My son is so funny because he's, like, super concerned about it. We can't be here. We're not supposed to be here. You know, and I'm like, it's fine. Look, you know. But it's really confusing, especially when you go to the end of 41, because to the left it's okay, to the right it's not okay. And, I mean, I think that just as a resident that we get confused, and a tourist has got to be really confused, I would think. But so what you guys are saying is where...
I put the numbers, put these numbers over here.
I'm sorry, I can't recall your name. Jennifer. Can you come back up?
Stephanie
Little.
Thank you.
And I'm here to take your suggestions. So this is not the final version, and I'm more than happy to put the numbers on there as well.
I think it would be a great...
I agree. Yes.
Yeah, I think that that would be great. And... I mean, I'd like to make a motion that we allocate the funds, $500 for 5,000 brochures.
I'd like to make a comment. To make a comment. I wonder if we're not setting a precedent, printing these things for organizations. Who's going to come to us next? The garden club and everybody else? We can't print brochures for everybody.
That's a good point.
Well, if you set a precedent, I think that you would have to judge as a board, is this a piece of collateral that you might want to produce yourself if you had the budget for it?
Well, is the city of Morro Bay's name going to be on this map?
It says Habitat Conservation and Plover Recovery Program and Morro Bay or Mobile.
But I mean, we're spending city of Morro Bay's funds and their name isn't even.
I'm guessing that they might be willing to put those city's logo on the
willing to do that, Stephanie?
Absolutely.
On the flyer.
That's probably a good idea. I think I hear what you're saying. You know, come in, visitors. We want you tourists to come. And when you're here, please be respectful.
If we're going to spend the dollars, then we ought to have our website on there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that should
be. And there ought to be maybe a Chamber of Commerce logo. You know, if we're going to spend our bucks, then we ought to be on there.
Absolutely.
Because this is just as important to Cayucas and Los Osos, and they're not putting in a penny. So we're going to put the whole thing out. And those cities are going to help benefit from it. And so, if we're going to be the sole support for this, then we need to have our webpage on it at least.
And make it look like an official city publication, if that's what we're going to do, because I agree with Bill. We're spending city taxpayers' money, and they should be represented on that brochure.
I think having the website would be a benefit to your map, too, because people can then get more information and... I think that's a good point. Anytime we can get the MorroBay.org website on anything is going to be a value. And, fact, it would certainly serve your same goal. We could take this artwork and develop this on the website as well.
Yes.
And then people could be able to go online and get it, we got 36,000 people last month that went to the website, and I'm sure some of those people would really want this information.
With more Morro Bay identification, I would be certainly in favor of doing that, but I'd certainly want to see a lot more Morro Bay.
Yeah, there isn't even a big, there's a little word, Morro Bay, Cayucas, Montaña de Oro, but no place does it say really push Morro Bay.
Okay, so it sounds like the committee might be willing to back this with the contingency that we make these changes to the map, that the locations are numbered. Autobahn?
Yeah, I'd want to see.
Are they putting some money in on it?
Yeah, for all the design cost. There's quite a bit of design cost.
And then how does the committee feel about the front where it says dog on leash walking areas?
I was going to say I really like the approach of it because it's very positive. It doesn't anywhere say no dogs here.
Right.
It says dogs here on leashes. That's a real nice positive approach. I think it's a good format.
I will throw out one other thing, and Stephanie can consider it or not, but all the city parks in Morro Bay are available to dogs on leashes. I don't know if you're really talking only about the connection between the plovers and the dogs. So probably you don't want to do that, but just so you know, they're all available to dogs on leashes.
Del Mar. on there, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Del Mar Park is.
Del Mar, I'm assuming that's the dog park at Del Mar. That they're,
no, all dogs are available to leashes.
Yeah,
all dogs are available. All parks are available.
Yeah. On leash.
Well, and there's the Cloisters, too. The Cloisters Park is on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, okay, so moving forward with those changes, does the committee wish to see a final revision prior to the allocation of funds?
I would.
The committee, yeah?
Well, you know, if we do that, then we postpone it
till
June.
Oh, that's true.
Of course, I don't know how soon we can have them printed. I doubt if we can have any for this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Probably not for this weekend.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, maybe. This is going to be a big weekend.
You know? Yeah, but, I mean, there's no way in a day we could have them.
Perhaps she could either send it to Peter or myself, and then we could send it out to the – you wouldn't be able to decide on it.
Right.
Going here locally, too. Printing
oh, yeah,
locally.
For Tom, right? Yeah. Tom Hay, okay. Mm-hmm. Which I think is great.
Okay. I think one way to look at this, and I agree with Bill, I think you need to make some stipulations to it as to when you're going to do it. But I think the other way to look at this is that they did all the design and did all the got all the information. Mm-hmm. It's actually a good thing for us to be able to support it by just printing. I mean, I think it would be, if there are other people wanted to do a tourism piece of collateral that we thought would be valuable for us to encourage more visitors, then that wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing. I mean, they're picking up the bulk of the work, and I think it will be. I think this is a great asset to have.
Well, I especially think that it would be really good to be able to put this map on, you know, just this page
right.
on our website, because I think that would be really valuable. And do you think, I mean, would that artwork be available to us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And, shoot, I just lost it. Okay. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Where exactly are these going to be distributed? Obviously through the chamber, but at hotels and such?
Or? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Morrowbay businesses, maybe
there are
collaborate
only seven
with
motels
Jenny.
That are, there are only seven motels that are dog friendly.
Okay. So, and then maybe collaborate with Jenny and taking these to the businesses.
The business.
You know, I would try to put some down at the harbor department.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of people that stop in there and want to know mm-hmm. everything and anything.
Mm-hmm. And then for.
Rick might not like it.
For the docent program that I operate, we operate on city or the state park beaches. And so a lot of these docents are coming in contact with tourists that aren't familiar with our rules and regulations here in Morro Bay. And so it's for these docents to pass out to all the folks.
I make that motion or continue that, that we give $500 out of the current budget to print 5,000.
I would second that.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
So what you'll need to do is coordinate with Peter, because I'll need an invoice, because we'll actually, my firm will pay for it, and then bill the city.
Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate this a lot.
No problem. Thanks, Stephanie. Okay. Any other new ideas? Did you have something, Susan?
I don't know if this would apply to us, but I found out from Kathy Novak that since about... what did she say, 1996, something like that. Supposedly we have been collecting money from all transient vendors that was supposed to go to a banner fund. And we think we have Bill Pierce tracking down whatever happened to that, and is it being collected, and where is it, and can we use it? But I think it would be fabulous for the city to go ahead and start buying banners for all these events that we put on, both that can hang across the street like they do in SLO and hang from our new light posts that are very cool. You know, they have the little individual kind of things. So I don't know if that's something for us to discuss, or maybe it could be part of our PR subcommittee meeting, whether we can do some more tracking.
I like that idea, and I think it should go up probably at least four to 6 weeks ahead of
absolutely.
The event.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because we have repeat visitors.
Right.
We have people who come, you know, easily several times a year, if not more, and if they come down in the winter, you know, and see, oh, the car show's coming, you know.
You wouldn't need to print many, many banners. One or two would do it.
Well, I think you'd need banners for probably each event. You
well,
know,
yeah, but I'm saying for each event,
July.
For each event, you'd only need one or two banners,
right, exactly.
rather than have a bunch of flags hanging down the street.
Right. Yeah. Although having flags too would be nice. It's just, yeah, just it creates a nice look. I think if we took it all the way up North Main Street, it would mm-hmm. make a sort of cohesive feel to the city that we're all together and trying to bring people around. I just think it's a good look for the town.
Well, if you go down San Luis, go down Higuera in San Luis, whatever event is there, you can't miss it.
You can't
miss it.
Yeah, but it's very labor intensive to do that,
right.
Put them up and take them down. The number of events we have, you'd be doing this constantly. Whereas if you had one or two large banners across the street on say, Morro Bay Boulevard, mm-hmm. you'd get, okay, you wouldn't get 100% of the people, but you'd certainly get 99 or 98 or 97% of the tourists that come to town.
Well, I think the idea, too, for me at least, when you go down Higuera and San Luis and have the banners up, you can't miss it.
Oh, absolutely.
You see it. It's very eye-catching, and you know the dates and so forth.
The city's going to have to put that banner up.
Yeah, they're going
to. I don't think Pete in the chamber wants to put a banner across the street.
No, it would definitely.
I'm joking when I say that. We have enough trouble getting a sign up on our billboard, but,
in terms of liability and everything else, I'm sure it has to be either the city public works department or maybe you could go outside with tree people. They have the kinds of lifts and buckets you need. I don't know.
Would that require a permit?
There's some issues involved in that. A couple of different issues. One is I always appreciate Ed commenting that on 41 coming into the. Town on 41, and as well as coming into town from Cayucas. So the transit vendor fee is used for that, so it is a separate account. I know Bill Pierce has contacted Joyce, our accountant, about it. So that's still happening. There may be some funds in there that are available.
What exactly is the transit?
Transit vendor fee is a fee that's charged to vendors that come in for 1, 2, or 3 day events. And instead of getting a business license, they get a transient vendor transient vendor license, and they're charged a transient vendor fee. And
so
it's
like somebody selling at Harbor Harbor.
If they don't already have a business license, and it's pretty reasonable. I think it's $5 for a 1 day, or maybe $12.50 for a 3 day event. So it's a fairly reasonable fee.
Can we get a report on what the ramifications are? The difficulties, in other words, what are the rules and regulations that we'd have to be aware of? Height and who's going to do it and insurance?
Yeah, we may not be able to bring that back to you next month, but we can bring it back.
Okay. I think, too, you just have to be cautious to that type of banner, that big a banner, is going to have to have some real adherence to it being up, like holes in it. It's going to have to be a different type of material. Because those things, I've seen people put those things up and pull down both posts when the wind kicks up. Not so you couldn't do it, but it's a big deal to have a big banner like that.
I don't believe
it's like
we have
a big parachute.
We have anything currently in Morro Bay that would sustain a banner like that. That's in the ground now.
Okay, great. Well, I think that's a good idea, and we'll see if we can play that out. Anything else that anyone wants to add?
Question. I had an email about the June meeting being on the Thursday.
I think what it was the Thursday was not available, so
we
looked at that. Well, what about just the day before that?
I think you're right.
And that's supposed to, frankly, to accommodate me because I'm going to would be out of town on the 18th.
Okay. Maybe you're right. I know that there was. Well, I'll just look back at my
calendar. But that 17th is the small networking breakfast.
Yes, the small business networking breakfast.
Oh, so
that won't work. Or at least I would think it would be a real challenge.
So does the 11th work for everybody?
I think the problem with the 11th might have been that the facility was not
available. I don't
think
there's any facility.
Right, that's right.
And I think that she did, now that we're talking about all this, I think that we all did say, the 17th does work.
Right, and that's why I remember kind of going back and forth, and then either works for me. I don't care, but I just wanted clarification of when it is.
So we'll
have to get a hold of Bridget.
If the 17th doesn't work, I guess we'll start.
Well, I can get somebody to take my place.
But the network.
I'm hosting the breakfast, so I have to be there. But
sure.
I can always get someone else to take my place.
It's going to be kind of a problem, though, since I'm speaking at that.
Yeah.
There's three of us that will be gone.
Okay. That won't work. Okay.
Never mind.
Well, I will. I'll email Bridget, and we'll see what we can work out. And we might just have to miss you that meeting if it doesn't work out, John. Just do it the 18th anyways, and maybe you can just give us a report.
I can send a representative.
Of course, that would not be a good date, obviously, for a BID meeting if you're not going to be here. So we'll just have some coordination, but we'll get it taken care of, and I'll let the committee know.
I mean, that one other suggestion, just to throw something out, if we ended up having a joint meeting with the BID, that could be, providing the facility. You could actually do your meeting, probably and just have a regular meeting too.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, we'll see what we can come up with, but we'll definitely meet in June. So, anything else? Any declaration of future agenda items that need to be added? I don't think we had any new agenda items this meeting. So, great. Well, good meeting. We will go ahead and adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you.